Pastor, it's a good moment. Let's put a hand as Pastor comes to share with us the word of God.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Are you really excited to be in the house of God? I am extremely excited to be here and to be in the presence of God. What a worship. What a time spent in the presence of God. Have you been blessed? Amen, amen, amen. I'm so excited for what God is doing and for what God is just about to do. He is always doing, looking forward to do a brand new thing in our lives every single day. The Bible tells us that his mercies are new every single morning. Hallelujah. He showers us with mercies, brand new mercies, every single morning. The mercies of yesterday are not similar to today's mercies. For yesterday's trouble may be different from today's trouble. And he offers different mercies for different situations. And I am grateful that he has offered new mercies to each and every one of us. That he has not allowed any one of us to be hungry. He has not allowed any one of us to be without clothes. He has not allowed any one of us to be without shelter. And he deserves the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he is the true vine, and that we are the branches, and we are in him, and he is in us. And as long as we are grafted in the true vine, our life will be expected to produce some fruit. Amen? And the Bible says that we shall ask him of anything, whatsoever we wish, and he shall supply to us. Sometimes it doesn't, situations that surround us don't really tell us anything about the provision of God. Situations that surround us sometimes and situations that we face may push God to seem like he is far away. But even in the midst of the most complicated situation, in the midst of the most worse and seemingly annihilating problems, he is there in the midst of that problem. Amen? Mostly the solutions that you need to reach and to get to your destiny are just within your reach. Praise be to God. The Bible tells me that he is close. He sticks closer than a brother. He is the El Shaddai. He is the God who listens. He is my teacher, the rock of all ages, my salvation, the shepherd of my soul. He is the lifter of my head, the bishop of my soul. He is my pastor. I can trust in him in times of trouble. I can run in him when I am desperate. When I can embrace and feel his warmth when situations seem so bleak. And I can call upon his name and he can answer me. The confidence that I have in him is unshakable. Praise be to God. That in times of trouble, in times of situations that seem to swallow me up, in times of situations, you look at a situation and you don't find any, like there's going to be any way. But God comes in an expected way and finds us. Amen? The only thing that God desires from us is to plug in. Touch somebody sitting next to you, tell them, plug in. Plug in. Plug in. Into the power. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I am really excited to be in the house of God. I know you may not even have an idea of what I'm talking about, but I am really, really, really excited because of what God has done. Amen. Before I bring the word of God, I'd really want to pay tribute to men and women of God who are in our midst who have made really a difference in the running of this ministry. I just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I'd like to appreciate the worship, first and foremost, the worship team that come here every Saturday, organize themselves, and lead us into the presence of God. Brother Israel, we really appreciate your leadership. Thank you so much for coordinating the entire team and for your dedication unto the Lord. Don't you all appreciate what this worship team has done so far? That we can come into the presence of God. We can come into this house, and we are almost sure that we're gonna touch the hand of God. I don't know whether it was two Sundays, but I was telling you, I was just sharing with the Brother Israel that I came up here and I felt like I needed a special touch from the Lord. I needed God to speak to me. And they just sang one song. But I don't know how the words of that song just communicated into my spirit. But I know that, you know, it is because they take time, they pray about what they do, they are serious, they are committed in what they do. And I would like to say thank you so much for your sacrifice. Praise be to God. I would also want to thank the men of God who really take care of this ministry, particularly when I'm away, Pastor Wilson. Pastor Wilson, can you stand on your feet? How many of you appreciate this man? This man of God, he didn't even know how he came out of St. Louis, and he was sent all the way to Dallas, Texas. This man has been able to wait on God, and he has taught us the word of God during Bible study. And he has been here through prayer meetings on Wednesday. I don't know whether he would even want me to say this, but he has tarried here in the church overnight, many, many nights with other brothers and sisters calling upon the name of the Lord. Pastor, I would like to appreciate you. Thank you so much. And thank you for all that you do. He's able to minister. He ministers to all of us. Ministers, calls different people, visits different people even behind the scenes, and he does a tremendous job. Pastor Francis, would like to, can you stand on your feet? How many of you know that Pastor Francis is a man of peace? If you're in trouble, you know he will tell you that don't worry, Jesus is going to take care of that. Jesus is alive. Pastor Francis would like to appreciate you. Recently we introduced our care ministry, and Pastor Francis is taking care of that ministry as well as outreach. And so some of you have been called by him, and he's organizing and coordinating our outreach, and he is doing a superb job. I know some of you have been called by him and you didn't pick up your phone. When he calls you, please pick up the phone and tell. We just want to know where you are and how your life is going. And we appreciate for what you've been doing. Thank you so much. Appreciate him with me. Minister Julius, stand on your feet. Minister Julius, how many of you know that this man is an encouragement to this church? Now, this man here is my buddy, and we've come long ways with him, and he organizes the administrative part of our church. He oversees the finances, working with Brother James and Tony, and he organizes the upcoming media ministry. He oversees and gives us advice in many, many areas. I know behind the scenes he has also been ministering to you, calling on you, and encouraging you. So we appreciate you, Minister Julius, for all that you do. Thank you so much for your dedication. Evangelist Noel, can you stand on your feet? Would like to appreciate you so much. She is the secretary. Sister Purity, please don't go. Just tarry a minute. I would like to appreciate Evangelist Noel. She's the secretary of our board. And behind the scenes, you don't know how much work this woman does. You know, ministering to young women and ministering to even married women and ministering even to other young men. And I don't even know. And also waiting on God on prayer and taking on issues like a giant of faith. She has been very instrumental since she came all the way from Pennsylvania. And she didn't know where God was sending her. We appreciate you so much, our sister, and thank you much for all that you do. We'd like also, Sister Purity, can you stand on your feet? I know you're going out to do something, maybe to teach. But she has been coordinating our women's ministry. We'd like to thank you, Sister Purity, for your dedication in prayer and in the ministry. You know, let me tell you, for those people who have not been, I don't know whether there's somebody who doesn't come to church who has not received a phone call from Sister Purity. We'd like to appreciate you, my sister, for all that you do. And I'd like to know that we appreciate your ministry and coordinating the women's ministry. Keep on doing what you're doing. Your reward is waiting for you in heaven. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Brother Alex, stand on your feet. That is my buddy. Now, I know most of you don't know Alex, but I know him personally. That man can make you laugh, and he's the most pleasant man you can be around, you know, for some time. He loves God with the whole of his heart, and he's a man of integrity. He has been coordinating our men's ministry. And for the men that have not been coming to the men's ministry, I'll challenge you, please, to attend to the meetings that are always there. And the Lord is going to bless you tremendously. Thank you so much, Alex, for your dedication. Sometimes you're here alone on Saturday, along with a few men that come here. And I appreciate your dedication. Thank you so much. Thank you. We appreciate you. Sister Junie, stand on your feet. Sister Junie, alongside Sister Omboi and my wife, they have coordinated the Sunday school ministry. And she's a good, very good organizer, you know, laying out, you know, schedules for the Sunday school. And would like to know that we appreciate what you do. Thank you also for Sister Anne and my wife for all that they do coordinating, you know, the Sunday school ministry. We also have other leaders. Sister Beatrice, stand on your feet. Let me tell you guys, when you don't have tea, Beatrice, I know you've called some women and some men to help you cook the tea and they refused. And you are the one who went and cooked that tea. You know, bought the bread and bought the cookies that we ate after the service. And we didn't go home so hungry. We appreciate the ministry that you do every single time. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap a harvest. We really, really appreciate you, Sister Beatrice. It may not really be a very open ministry whereby you can come and preach to people, but be faithful in what you're doing, my sister, and the Lord will remember you. Hallelujah. I just love the humility Sister Betty has. Thank you so much. Thank you. Sister Lorraine. Ever since you stepped on that booth, we've been having a smooth flow of songs here. We don't struggle reading the songs back there. Thank you for cooperating with your leader, Brother Israel, and thank you so much for your dedication. You know, Sister Lorraine is the last one to leave this place when everybody's gone, and I find her, you know, shutting off the AC and sometimes picking up papers here and making sure that the church is locked, and she's like the custodian. Thank you so much, Sister Lorraine. We appreciate you. There are so many people that are work behind the scenes, and we appreciate every single one of you. Brother James taking care of the money that you collect, and you know, every one of you. Do you see some beauty up here? Don't you appreciate whatever the Lord has done? Now, the person who did this told me not to mention her name, but we appreciate her, even in the privacy, the way she wants to work it in private. We appreciate what you're doing, and there are better things that are yet to come. Amen? Last but not least, I'd like to appreciate my one and only, my beautiful wife, Catherine. Man, let me tell you, Catherine is just one wonderful person that the Lord just put in my path. She is the most humble, most understanding woman, and fun to be with. You know, baby, I don't even have anything I can say about you, but I just want to say thank you. That even when we've gone through hard times, you never exposed the situations away. But you stood close to me and encouraged me. From the bottom of my heart, I just thank you so much. And thank you for being a woman of God. I know that she is a woman of God. I don't know about anybody else, but I know that woman. She is a woman of God. Thank you. Thank you for the so many people God is bringing in our hands, like Pastor Karanja, to teach us the word of God. We appreciate you, man of God, for being in our midst. Thank you for teaching us about servanthood. We are yet to explore and experience each other. Amen. I think it is befitting to encourage every one of us and to know that you are of value. You are of value. Church, thank you, Lord. Can you lift up one hand and just appreciate the Lord for the gifts that he has given us in this house? Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. I don't even know what to say. Now, yesterday I had a counseling session here. With a very, very close and very dear friends of mine, Steve and Monica. Can you stand on your feet? Actually, can you come over here? Now, what was meant to be a marriage counseling turned out to be a gospel outreach. And today, last Sunday, we had a guy called Steve, but today we have a brother Steve. He gave his life to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, this is so exciting. You know, one thing I love about this young man, he has a quest for God. And when I learned about him and I learned about them, I thought the best thing for me to do was not even to counsel them about marriage, but to tell them about Jesus. And he was so confused about what the gospel is. And eventually he said, now I understand. Do you want us to pray about Jesus? He said, now, Pastor, you can pray for me to receive Jesus. And I would like to give him an opportunity to give his first testimony to you.
Well, I don't know what to say. But, all my life I've been confused about what the saving is. Well, I come to think of it like you have to go this step, the next one, and then the next one. I mean, to be saved according to what we read from the Bible yesterday is very easy. Just breathing and in your heart and confessing that the Lord Jesus is our Savior. Amen. And is my Savior. I am blessed to be here today. And I want to live my life, the rest of my life, doing the God's will. Yeah. And that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Monica, do you want to say something?
Praise God. Praise God again. I'm born again, and if there is somebody who is excited, it's myself, because I know as we get into marriage with Steve, we will live a godly marriage, and we are willing to let God do his will in our lives, and we are blessed to be in this church, and God bless you.
This is what I told these young friends of mine, that I cannot condemn them for anything that they have done. And for him giving his life to Jesus, he made my whole year, actually. And they told me so many things, that the way they have been accepted in this church, your love for them, you came and you appreciated them. And he said he came, we didn't dismiss them, we didn't cast them away. And that's why they feel connected to this ministry. Hallelujah. Are you going to accept them the way they are? Are you going to teach them the word of God? Amen. Let me tell you guys, you're going to be loved until you are mumependeka. Yeah. Amen. We love you so much. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll ask Mama Benji, who will give, because of our time, he'll give him a short time. And Sister Mary, thank you so much. We've not seen you in so many weeks. The Lord has created a miracle for you to be here. Thank you so much. Amen. Turn your Bible into the book of 2 Kings, and I'm going to ask my brother Ambrose Mashiri. Good to see you, man of God. Go into 2 Kings. I'd like you to read for me. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Why don't you go up to, let's see, read up to verse number 5. Yeah, verse 1 to 5. Ambrose, read that for us. Praise be to God. May the Lord bless his word. There's something that I read about Naaman that really intrigues me. I've been reading about this portion of the scripture now for the last almost 3 weeks. And it just hit me when I read the first verse about who Naaman was. And I've been trying to search about him. And there's not so much that is written about this man except to say that he was a captain of the Syrian army. Praise the Lord. He was a man who was well reputed. He was a man of reputation. He had everything that went alongside him. And the Bible says in the first verse, just because the Lord helped him to help the Syrian army conquer a war that was being waged against their enemies. Now, something else I learned about Naaman. Naaman was very influential. He was a wealthy man. And not only was he like a man who had favor with the king of his country, but he was a man who had influence all around Syria. In fact, I was surprised that a captain, just a captain of the army, would have even a political influence in Syria. This man had so much influence. He would command a brigade or a section of the army to do certain things, and they would obey. I mean, Naaman was wealthy. In the status of today, maybe we would maybe liken him with the former Secretary of State, Colin Powell. How many of you know Colin Powell? He was a very recognized man, a man of reputation, a man who, when he speaks, you know, everybody stands still because they know that what is going to come out of him would be wisdom. He was a man of integrity. He was wealthy. He had everything going out for him. And let me tell you, what surprises me is that the Bible said that in spite of all these things that was going on well for Naaman, the Bible says, but he had leprosy. He had everything going out for him. He would command a team of soldiers to do a sudden thing, and they would do it. He would go into his countryside, and men would come, and they would recognize him, and they would pay tribute to him, and they would respect him. He had wealth, and he had everything going out for him, but he had leprosy. And I came to understand, and I was wondering, why is it we human beings, you might be having one time everything going out for you. You know, you have your car, a very good car, going without any trouble. You have an ability to pay your bills on time. You have friends who do not give you trouble. Everything seemed to be going on right. But there is something. There is something that you may not even disclose to anybody. Hallelujah. I don't care what status of life you have or have acquired in your position right now. I don't know what they call you. I don't know whether you're the president of this great nation. I don't even care whether you're the captain or you are the chief of staff. I don't even care how much money you have. But there is always something that is nagging and kind of cripples the reputation and the person in whom you are. Glory be to Jesus. I thank God because you know what? God created everything here on the planet to be connected to a certain source. And I don't care whether a person doesn't know God or he knows God, but God wants to create something, an emptiness in a part of any given person, an emptiness that will call out for God. And I believe that even this Syrian captain, who was against the very nation that was ordained by God, the children of Israel, that even in him also, he had a portion, a vacuum that called on something that was greater than money could buy. He had money that he could pay to a doctor to heal his leprosy. But even that could not even meet the need that this single need that he had. Now in Syria, leprosy would allow a man of character and a man of stature in the name of Naaman to go about his business. Now, on the other side, in the land of Israel, if you had leprosy, it was a different story altogether. For those of you who are scholars, and I challenge all of us to be readers of the Bible or to be listeners of the word, you know, if you had leprosy in the nation of Israel, you could not live among the people. In fact, you would be set and separated and cast away, and you would be unclean. Praise be to God. And this is the very thing that Naaman had. I don't know whether I'm the only one. I might be having something going on for me, you know, everything going on for me well. Everything is connecting. I'm able to connect the dots here and there, and everything seemed to be going on well. But suddenly, something comes that even the money that I may have in the bank or the friends that I may have may not be able even come close to bringing me a solution that I need at that particular moment. But it calls for me to look up to my Creator, the author and the finisher of this life. Hallelujah. Naaman had everything going out for him. He had the money. He had the resources. He had the command. He would even talk to his superior, the king, and he would tell him, please, can you order every doctor to come and help me heal this leprosy? But he could not even get to that point. Let me tell you, church, God wants us to be plugged into himself. There's no way any human being can achieve anything without the help of God. The job that you have, the family that you have, do not brag and think that you're the one who is able to bring it together. Even that job that God has given you, sometimes you have despised it. You have despised it. Every time you go there and you see the people that you work together, you don't even want to be around them. But God has allowed you to be there for certain reasons. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And sometimes God will allow certain situations to come into your life so that you do not brag and think that, you know, everything that you have is by you, But you may also recognize that nothing can you accomplish without his own power. There will always be something that would lead you to a divine connection, something that will attract you and cause you to draw to a divine being who can come, who can only be the one who can come and deliver you. You might be having everything going out for you, but having a problem of balancing your checkbook. Every time you want to balance your checkbook, everything goes haywire and you don't know how to do it. And let me tell you, sometimes you don't need even a financial counselor. You just need help from above. Praise be to God. You might have everything going on well, but you have that nagging boss. Every single moment she sees you like a snake or a devil. And every little thing, even when you try to put everything in order, when you try to fix everything, you're trying to do everything according to your job card, there is always criticisms. Why did you not do this? Why did you do this, that, like this? Why did you do the other thing? And every time when you get there, you're so nagged up in your spirit. And when you go home, it's like you're so angry and you're so puffed up just because there's that one boss. Sometimes you just need to look up from and seek help from above, because God can even cause that boss to get out of that of your way, and so that you can have your life back. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what is that little nagging thing that you've been trying to remove from your life, and every time you're trying to intervene by yourself so that you can get rid of it. Every time. It doesn't work. It might be a wake-up call, God telling you, look up from whence your help comes from. Because whatever is impossible with man, it is possible with God. There is nothing that is impossible with God. Praise be to God. Let me tell you, church, money might be the problem. The wife might be the problem. The husband might be the problem. But I want to tell you that those are not really actual problems. But the real problem is God causing you to look up so that he can come and intervene so that you may experience his divine power. Because once God intervenes in a certain situation, that you are able to have a point of reference, because in this journey, you're going to meet many mountains and valleys that cannot be solved by your ability, or cannot be solved by any person, or cannot be purchased by the money that you have in the bank, but will call for a divine intervention. And as you meet the next mountain, you'll be able to look back and say, if God was able to do and help me in that mountain, this also he will be able to do it. Hallelujah. I just love one man of God who called me the other day, and he told me, you know, when situations come like this, Pastor, it was a bad situation in his, you know, that was going on. And this is exactly what he told me. I have learned one thing, that I am not able to do anything by my own strength. For I have learned that I'm so limited and so finite in the way I think, in the way I do things, in the way I articulate things. But I have learned to surrender before the mighty hands of God. And once I release an issue before the Lord, I put my hands off and let God do it. Hallelujah. That is a kind of a calling that God has called us. There are situations, however you might even try to bring help from outside to come and solve that problem, it calls. Only God can come and intervene in certain situations. Praise be to God. And I thank God for this man, even being a captain. Let me tell you, the Syrian nation used to, every now and then, just as it happens today by the Palestinians, you know, there's war since I was a kid. There has been war between the Palestinians and the Israelis. I've had the Gaza Strip, I think, so many times. I've had about, you know, about the, every time there's a piece of, about is the Jewish nation, every single day. And even in these days it used to happen. They used to go in there and plunder the nation. nation of Israel, and they'll come with goodies, and they'll come with even people, young girls and young boys. In this particular situation, they got a young girl. And when they captured this young girl, they said, you know what? We are going to take her to serve the wife of Naaman. Now, one thing I want you to know is that this little girl, in the Bible, it does not mention her name. All we know about this young girl was that she was an Israel, she was an Israelite girl. And she served the wife of Naaman. And this trouble that just befell, Naaman had begun to become a trouble in the family. And they will talk about it during dinner. I can see them talking about it during lunch. And I can see this Naaman just scratching and pulling all his clothes and his official clothes and just scratching. And he was beset and he was angry and he was desperate and he didn't know what to do. And why I think about it, because this woman, this young girl, looked at Naaman, her master, and said, she was compassionate about her master. Hallelujah. And she said, I wish my master. And I think this little girl probably did not even believe or have any ability to think that her master would adhere to the words that she would speak or the advice that she would offer to her master. I wish my master would just get connected to a prophet in my home country. And I wish he can have access to that prophet because this problem that has been a nagging problem, this problem that all suddenly broke up to be an issue in this house now can come to a standstill. If only they can visit with the man of God, because I know there is a man, a prophet in Israel. One thing I love. Let me tell you, this is now the cream of this message. That in you have been deposited a unique vitality and potential. God has instituted a government within your heart that you can carry with you wherever you are taken. Sometimes the enemy will take you on a ride. Are you listening to me? Even unbeknown to you, you might all suddenly find yourself in a bus of the enemy, and you're going on a ride on a place that you do not know. But within you, there is an instituted government. There is the kingdom of God within you. Oh, hallelujah. And so when they took hold of this Israelite girl, and she was the maidservant of Naaman, little did they know that their solution would come by this captive that they got from the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. Little did Naaman know that his leprosy will be healed through a young girl. Hallelujah. There must have been something that was deposited into the life of this young girl. This young girl was not just like a day-to-day ordinary girl. But I believe that she belonged to some parents who taught her about what God can do. About the instituted government of God. I believe that she had the word of God. I believe that she experienced meetings. Maybe she went to crusades and she went to meetings and conventions where she experienced the healing and the mighty hand of God. She was not limited, because let me tell you, you can be held captive, but whatever is inside of you, nobody can put it in prison. Are you listening to me? You are a child of God, bought by a price, cannot be equated with any dollars. Let me tell you, they can capture you. They can put you in a place where nobody wants to work. But I tell you, within you, oh my God, within you, there is an institution that cannot be held captive. And it is a divine connection. Tell them you are a divine connection. Oh, yes. The reason why God took you to that place that you do not want, it might be only for the reason that you witnessed to somebody. Glory be to Jesus. That's why Steve and Monica would come into this church. We don't have a multitude of many people, but there is love. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. They told me they went to many congregations and they were rejected, just telling them that we want to get married, want your help. And they went through the list and through their list of contributions. And when they saw that their names were not there, they said, you know what? We don't see you on your list of your tithes and offerings. So we have nothing to do with you. But I told them, but I'm going to teach you about giving. I'm going to tell you what the benefits that you receive from tithes and offerings. I'm not going to judge you because you do not give. Because I know you might be held captive. You might be in a bus where the enemy is taking you. My responsibility is to teach you out of the bus. Because the moment you're going to know the benefits of tithes and offerings, the moment you know that when you give, you're giving unto your God. The moment you know the benefits of your tithes and offerings, the moment you know the complete dedication of giving yourself to the work of the Jehovah God, the moment you know that when you come to this church, you're not coming to please Pastor Tony or Pastor Wilson, the moment you know that when you come here on a Wednesday prayer meeting, you're not coming for me or anybody, the moment you recognize that you're the beneficiary, I want you to come to that point. I'm not going to judge you whether you give or you don't give. I believe my responsibility is to tell you the benefits you receive when you give. The benefits you receive when you serve God. The benefits where you receive when you open up your mouth only to bless your brothers. The benefits you receive. Oh God, I wish somebody can hear me. Hallelujah. Church, are you listening to me? This young girl, she was not inhibited. But she said, I wish my master can go to Israel. There's a prophet up there. Glory be to God. Let that which is within you not be inhibited. The person you work with may not even look like you, may not even have habits like you, may not even have a hobby like you. Glory be to Jesus. Let me tell you, yesterday I was listening to Joel Austin. And he was talking about Naaman. I was saying, how did Joel Austin know that I was teaching about Naaman today? I said, this is so interesting. And he was giving an example of how he went into a plane. How many of you listened to what he was saying? He went into a plane and there was this guy. This guy came into, just sat next to him. And, you know, this guy was so talkative. Oh, yo, whoa. You know, he was so talkative. But Joel Austin, you know, was tired and he wanted to lay back. He was just saying, the whole journey from where he was coming, and the plane was landing in Dallas, and this guy exited. He was still talking, and Joel Austin said, thank God this guy is gone. I can now sleep. And suddenly they booted a guy who was his hero, who was a Hall of Fame in NBA, and suddenly the sleep went away and he started engaging this guy. Oh man, I cannot believe that you're sitting next to me. And this guy told him, I don't want to talk to anybody. And he said, what, God, what did I do? And he tried to talk to him. He said, the guy put a towel on his face and he said, do not disturb me, with a very mean face. And throughout that journey, Joel Austin was so alert and he needed to talk to this guy who has been his hero, an NBA. Is it how interesting we just won't talk to the people who seem to be so likable and so meaningful and so, you know, have an ability, you know, they look that they can help us. And we ignore the people who are nobodies. How often do you greet that person who stands by the door of Walmart? Or did they say, oh, good morning, and you just go, you loser. Don't you say that? You loser. Why are you greeting me? How often do you dismiss those people that don't seem like they have anything to do with you? You know, I mean, what is this person talking to me? I mean, you know, I'm a registered nurse, you know, I got everything going for me. These people down there, you know, I don't want to deal with them, losers. Well, that might be the person that God has sent an answer The very answer that you need for your destiny might be in that little person. Are you listening to me? Pride comes before a fall. Let me tell you, church, we got to be very careful to recognize how God works. For God doesn't work like a human being. God works in his own complete different way. He comes through to Naaman through a maid. And I thank God for Naaman because he hearkened to the words of this maid. And he goes, you know, he goes with a letter. That's what the Bible says, to the king. And offers the king to the Israelite king. Eventually, Naaman lands into the hands of Elisha. Guess what? Elisha knew exactly what this guy was. Arrogant, a commander. But God is not a respecter of persons' charity. The way God will deal with you, will deal with a homeless guy. He will deal the same with President Obama. He is not a respecter of any persons. He sees how the affinity and the gratitude and the kind of whatever you have in there. He sees that's what he's looking at. Are you listening to me? He goes to Prophet Elisha. Is it Elisha? Elisha. And Elisha doesn't even come out. Can you think about this? I want you to know that, you know what? You know, I think Naaman and you know, Pastor Karanja and Mamuruti, they understand because they have been in the army. When you're an army commander, when you walk in the base, everybody's standing still and they're giving you salute and they're going, you know, they're going like this, the eyes tight like this. Because, you know, you're a boss, you know. That is what exactly Naaman expected from Elisha, the man of God. But the man of God didn't even move from the house. He sent his servant, go tell him, wash. Go tell him. Yeah. Go tell him, wash in the Jordan. And Naaman said, oh my God. Is this how these people treat people? An army soldier like me? Is this how they treat people? Doesn't really this man who they call the man of God understand who I am? I think they expected him. They expected maybe to perform a small parade and go, hop, hop, healing, leprosy, something. But the man of God says, I don't even have time. I got so many issues here. You know, you need a miracle. That's a miracle you need. You know the God, the power. They will know that there's a prophet. I don't even have to see you. God even doesn't. I can use anybody to, you know what? I don't care your position, but what you need is a healing. Go wash yourselves in River Jordan. And Naaman says, you mean River Jordan now? It's like you being washed to us to go and wash in River Trinity with all the junk that comes from Dallas. Are there not better rivers in Syria? Actually, you know what? Those rivers in Syria, they're considered the most pure water, with cold and very nice pure purified water. And he was just about to be turned away in anger. Let me tell you, may God help us. Because we might get everything together. And you might be having an answer. The answer that Naaman needed was just within him. Every single moment, it was just within him. Notice the girl. The girl told him, if only my servant could go to Samaria, to Samaria, he'll find a prophet there. And he's turning in anger now against the prophet. I cannot go wash myself in River Jordan. And one of his servants, just think about it. One of his servants told him, my father, he addressed him my father because he was a man of honor. If the man of God would have asked for a greater thing, would you not have done it? Why are you rejecting this? And Naaman slowly goes into River Jordan and he washes himself 7 times and he is healed. Sheer obedience. Some things that God is going to ask you to do will not make any sense. Sister Caroline, some things that God is going to ask you to do will not make any sense. It might be just buying lunch for that lady at the place of your work you don't want to see. God tells you, go buy her a dessert from McDonald's. That's her favorite. And also buy her an ice cream alongside it. And that might be the point of your connection. I want church for us to know tonight, if there was anything that we could catch from this lesson today, that we are divine connections, number one. That whatever you have might be taken away, but whatever is inside of you will never be taken away. It is all right for us to have everything going on for us and just that one nagging thing. It is enough for us. It will propel us to seeking the face of God Almighty. We can also draw a lesson from this lesson that, you know what, our pride, sometimes we have missed our blessings. Oh my goodness. We have missed our blessings because we ignored those little things that God sent in our way. We walked away from the very miracle that God sent out of us because of pride. Maybe the boss ask you, oh, you know what, you came so early, why don't you go? We didn't have the person who cleans up the men's, and they say that they're going to come late. Can you help cleaning it up today? And it might be, Ruth is laughing. I think it happened to her. The boss might ask you, can you kindly please clean up these restrooms? And I know you're a registered nurse, but can you take the mop and go and clean up? I say, who, me? Me? Excuse me? First of all, you go, excuse me? Because you didn't hear it well. And maybe your boss is just testing you. Maybe they have overheard of a position that you need, that needs somebody who needs a man of integrity like you. And that little thing, just taking a mop and going to clean up the restroom, would have given you the miracle. You swept it away. You said, I cannot do it. Myself now, I go clean up the... Yes. And maybe if you did it, they were just testing you. There are few things that the Lord will send our way that will be testing us. And many times we've walked away out of our miracle, Steve, just because we despise those little beginnings. Do not despise those little people who come to you and they come to you knocking on your door. Don't send them away. Listen, hearken to them because God might be speaking through them. Are you listening to me? And I don't want to go to what Naaman came to do. But generally speaking, the Lord God was esteemed into the life of Naaman. Naaman, who was an idolater, who worshipped other gods. Just because of obedience, he came to recognize the Elisha's God as the God Almighty. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. In this life, Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. There'll be trouble that will come to test you. There'll be trouble that will come to derail you out of the very faith that you've got. And I thank God for my brother Julius. He said, you know, whether they send those bills, collectors, letters to you, ultimately I know I have eternal life. These are issues that I have to deal with. Collectors, you know, having debt. You know, I'm not saying that it's good to have debt. But when it comes, what can you do? When they bang on your door, they call your phone, you pay the money when you have the money. You know? That should not be really take you to a place, a corner where you can coil and wonder and think that that's the end of the world. No, that's not the end of the world. There is a bright life and future in front of you. You're still kicking. You've not gone without food. And as long as you come here, we are not going to allow you to go without food. Because you're our brother, you're our sister. The most important thing is to keep the faith. And as I studied this scripture, listen, as I studied this scripture, the Holy Spirit told me, in fact, I had these words, that God is not concerned. He is not concerned with our day-to-day issues that plague our life more than the deposit of life eternal that he has placed in you. He is concerned with your day-to-day, but he is not concerned with those things more than he is concerned about the ability of taking what has been deposited into you and dishing it into the world. Because there are people who are hurting, and the only God connection they have is you. The Bible says that if only you can If only you can allow him to be plugged in you, he will supply all our needs. The things that you might be going on through right now, they are temporary. They're not going to last. They have an expiration date. So somebody said, problems that we face, they all have an ultimate day of expiration. But God is more concerned. How are you going to appropriate? How are you going to encourage somebody in times of need? How are you going to help somebody, lift them up in discouragement? That is what God is really, really, really interested in. These are the things he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things. Church, all these other things shall be added unto us. Praise be to God. And you might be telling me, Pastor, you don't even have a clue what I'm going through financially. My house is just about, I'm just about to lose my house. I cannot pay my rent. I can't even pay for my car note. Tell me about it. I know what you're talking about. I've been there. Probably I'm there right now. But my hope is in God. My God, my Almighty. My hope is in God. I am not shaken because he is in control. Man may let you down, but God will never let you down. I consider myself as one of the most blessed men in Dallas, Texas. I have money. I declare I have money. I am wealthy. And I have all the resources that I need to prosper. I have people who are connected to me that can lead me to greater wealth, even in God, spiritually and physically. I'm a man of character. I'm a man of integrity. And I walk tall. I don't care what the devil, the demons are sent towards me. I know that I'm a victor because the Bible tells me so. I therefore will never allow myself to be dominated by the powers of the evil one. I will stand tall in times of trouble, and I will call upon the name of my Father, and I know that he will hear me. You need also to have that authoritative voice within you that declares to situations that come to you, I will do it and I can make it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have brought this word as you spoke it to me. You first of all ministered this word to me, Father. And I'm trying to apply myself to this word. Father, I pray just as you taught it to me, and I have given it to this, your beloved children. Help them, Lord, even to apply themselves to it. To see the next person, Lord, as a gateway to their connection. To be the connection for that person who is close to them, my Lord. And to always know that there is so much that is in store, so much that you have deposited into them that can never be taken captive by the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Let that vitality, let that essential power within them, my Father, come forth and be declared so that they can stand tall in times of trial, in times of testing, and in times of trouble. Thank you, Heavenly Father. While in that mood of prayer, I'd like to ask if there is anybody in this congregation who has never given their life to Jesus, just like Steve did yesterday. To receive Jesus, you know, it's not an abracadabra type of thing whereby you think you have to do this, you have to attend a class, or do whatever you have to do. It's very easy. Essentially, is to know that the plan of God, what the plan of God was. We were all born sinners. We have Adamic sin within us. You might be trying to live good, and you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't even push up drugs, you don't even do many other things that bad people do. But that doesn't qualify you into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that your righteousness, self-righteousness, is like filthy rags before the Lord. And he requires you to do just one thing, to accept the plan of God. The plan of God was to break the Adamic sin within you. And the only way you can do that is to believe in your heart that God the Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come and become the sin, that Adamic sin. And he died on the cross. And he rose up again on the third day. And he is seated on the right hand side of the Father, interceding for you. If only you can believe that. And all the other thing you have to do is just confess with your mouth unto salvation. Very simple. Simple as that. And you become a child of God tonight. I'm going to ask you, you might be here, you've never given your life to Jesus. You know, for you to receive Jesus is for you to be plugged into the vine, the true vine. You begin to bear good fruits. You cannot bear fruits by yourself because you stand alone. You need to be plugged in somewhere. And that vitality will come from the true vine that will cause you to produce good fruit. Are you here? You've never given your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand up and I'm going to pray with you publicly, and you're going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lift up your hand right now. Is there anybody? Is there anybody in our midst? Hallelujah. Father God, I declare that this week will be the worst, one of the greatest weeks for this people, your children. I pray that even whatever office, whatever place they will step, oh Lord, they will have divine favor in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will give them favor both with God and with men. And I pray that they will not be ashamed. They will represent the kingdom of God whenever they go. They will never give a late testimony. They will make you known among the people that do not know you. They will know that it's in this office, in this hospital, in this place, in this neighborhood, there is a man and woman of God who lives in a certain address, and we can go out to them for prayer. I thank you, Father. Let them be epistles. Let them be a light that will shine in darkness, and that they will represent the kingdom of God wherever they go, in whatever office they are going to step in, to the glory and honor of your name. I pray that you shall cause every one of them to pay their bills, and there will be enough for food, there will be enough for everything that they need for this livelihood. And at the end of the day, may you receive the glory and honor. Father, we thank you. We even bless your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. Can you appreciate the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Amen.